It says we have a better covenant, we have a better mediator based on better promises. Listen, there's no one as great as Jesus. He is mankind's only perfect mediator between God and all of mankind. Do you know that?
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello again, and thank you for tuning in for Pastor Bill's study of the Epistle of Hebrews. Today, Pastor concludes the message, The New Covenant, from Hebrews chapter 8. Now, here's Pastor.
I'm just a wild olive tree. We were what? Grafted in among them, meaning among Israel, and with them became a partaker or a sharer in of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Now, if they have a root, that means that Israel, even though they rejected their Messiah, is still living and still alive. Amen? Okay, now let's continue. But if you do boast, he said, do not boast against the branches, about these unbelieving Jews who don't do this. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root. That's Abrahamic covenant supports the root, but the root supports you, meaning the covenant that God made with Israel. Listen, we were Gentiles. We were outside the promises of God. Remember, they didn't want anything to do with us, and I didn't want anything to do with them, in other words, okay, if we were living back then. But the church, listen, we as a church for the last 2,000 years, we have nothing to boast about. You know, we read about Israel, well, they didn't enter the promised land. You know, well, look at them. We would have. No, you wouldn't have. You see, it's easy to look back and say, we would have done. Well, yeah, we know the whole, we have the Bible. No, listen, the church for the last 2,000 years, we have just as much fault, if not more, than the nation of Israel. Amen. You understand? Oh, the things that the church has done. Dr. George Gill put it this way. He says, some churches will meet on Sunday morning after the rapture, and they won't miss a member. It would do the church, all of us, well to know our history or to look at the prophecies in the Bible, the New Testament, concerning the church and what we're facing. There's only two churches left on earth, okay? The true church, the false church. The church of Laodicea, the false church. The church of Philadelphia is the only church today to be the real church. Now, with all of that being said, it says in 2 Timothy 4:3, the time will come when they, meaning the church, they'll not endure sound or healthy teaching or doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned to fables. Listen, we are living in fable land right now. Look at the condition of the church in America today. Look what they've done. They've twisted every scripture in the Bible so they can satisfy their own sin. Man, we are in trouble. No, we're not. The apostate church is in trouble. Listen to me now. You study out the scriptures. There is no hope for the church that falls away, the apostate church, that goes and starts teaching lies and you can do anything you want to and all the rest of that. No, twisting the scripture. There's no hope for the apostate church, but there is hope for apostate Israel who denied their Messiah. Now, you say, well, Bill, are you sure? Yeah, look at Romans 11:25. Paul says, hey, I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. What was the mystery? Lest you should be wise in your own opinion. Here it's the mystery, that blindness in part has happened to Israel for how long? Until the full number of the Gentiles come in, okay? And so, how much of Israel is going to be saved? All of Israel will be saved, for it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Listen, this mystery here, it says all of Israel will be saved. That doesn't mean every Jew is going to be saved. It means at the second coming of Christ, the nation of Israel, there is a small remnant that's going to turn to Christ when they look upon him, when he comes, look upon him whom they have pierced. Those scars are always there, loved one. And they will see him and they will mourn. They will repent. They will turn to the true Messiah. That remnant will be saved. When does that happen? At the second coming of Christ our Lord. So there's a time limit that is placed on the blindness of Israel. It is only temporary. Now, with all that being said, go back to Hebrews chapter 8 and look at verse 9. Now, not according to the covenant I made, God says, with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery, and they did so by the blood of the Lamb, remember? Because they, look what they did, they didn't continue in my covenant. Well, I disregarded them, saith the Lord. Now watch, for this is the covenant that I will make with whom? The house of Israel. It's very important. This is a covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, here's what God said I'll do. I will put my laws in their mind. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now listen, what happened here? The new covenant, loved one, that we're under, that we're grafted into, okay? The new covenant is internal. It is the promise of transformation. Jesus said, you must be born again. You cannot even see or enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again, born from above. And so this process of transformation, this is the new birth. Remember what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Therefore, if anyone, no matter who they are, any nationality, any person, whoever they are, he says, whoever is in Christ, new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. The new birth, when a person is born again, then begins the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Like it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, where it tells us that we are being transformed from glory to glory into the very image of Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. That work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. See, we can't do it ourselves. We need the power of another to live the Christian life. And we're going from glory to glory, and that glory to glory takes us and makes us into the image of our Lord. We start living like we'd live, loving like, and forgiving and all those things, loved one. Now, he says here that when it comes to the old covenant was not inside, it was outside, okay? It was the tablets of stone. It's very important that we understand that. In the new covenant, are we partakers of God's divine nature? Yes, that means all of his commands, since we are partakers of his divine nature, they're now in us. Amen? They're written in our minds and our hearts. You know not to do this. Do you hear? You know what I mean. It's right there. But the old covenant, it was external. It couldn't help us. And so these external tablets of stone, when is verse 10 going to happen for the Jew? Let me give you the scripture there at the second coming. In Ezekiel 36, 24, God says, I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all the countries and bring you into your own land. That is an incredible word. We all know that on May 14th, 1948, Israel, for the first time in 2,000 years, became a nation again. Amen? Listen to me. Do you know that no nation on earth except Israel has a completed history? No other nation. We have their beginning. We have the full record. No other nation on earth can boast about that, but the Jew can. We have it right here. It's called the Word of God. Now, with all of that being said, he said, I'm going to bring you back, man. All the countries, wherever you've been scattered to, I'm going to break you back into your land. He says, then, this is at the second coming, that remnant we're talking about, when they see him, he says, then I will sprinkle you clean with water, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart, not a tablet of stone. I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you'll keep my judgments. You will do them. And then you shall dwell in the land, meaning the land of Israel that belongs to God, that belongs to the nation of Israel. It is an everlasting covenant. Do you understand that? Because they want to divide the land today. God owns it. It belongs to God, and it's been given to Israel. That's what the Word of God says. He says, then you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, that's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. That is the thousand-year reign. That is the kingdom age. Now look at verse 11 of chapter 8 of Hebrews. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none of his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. They won't need Sadducees. They won't need Pharisees. They won't need any of those. Why? This is the millennial reign. This is a universal knowledge that's going to cover the entire earth. All will know who he is. Amen? Now, when that happens, that thousand-year reign, what a day that's going to be. God made a promise. Everyone on earth, there will be intimacy with God. Think about that. You see, right now we're waiting, expecting the church to be caught up. Amen? In other words, the rapture. And what happens after the church is removed from this planet? The Great Tribulation period, which lasts for 7 years. After the Great Tribulation period, at the very end, Revelation 19:11 says that we, if you've never been on a horse, you better get ready, because we're going to get on a horse and come back to the earth with the Lord. He's going to touch down his foot on the Mount of Olives. Amen. And listen, it's over. He's going to rule. He's going to reign for 1,000 years. And when it's going to take him 1,000 years to clean up the earth, okay? That's how messed up this planet is. And then after that, the great white throne judgment, then hell and death, the devil, they're all cast into the lake of fire, and then the eternal state. Oh, Lord, what a day. Loved one, listen to me. We return with Jesus at the second coming, the church. Now, I want you to look at verse 12. Look what's going to happen. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. It's talking about Israel and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. You see, the Levitical system, the blood of bull and goats, could it ever take away sin? No. 1 John 3:5 says, and we know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him there was no sin. Jesus has paid our sin debt. But I want you to catch this promise in verse 12. The promise of God pertains to them, pertains to everyone under the new covenant. He says, I will remember no more their sin. No more. When we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord, he is a sacrifice for our sins. God says, I'll remember your sin no more. What does that mean in the Greek here? It means that God will never hold that against us ever again. Do you understand? Never. And not only that, now, he will not hold it against us. He will never, no, never bring up our sin ever again. Amen. Ever. That is a promise from God. It'll be just like he can't remember it. He'll be, you know, like you say, well, you know, I did this. I don't have a clue. Yeah, but I don't know anything about it. I don't hold that against you. I don't do that. The matter is eternally settled with God. We have a full and final forgiveness. Listen to me. When we are justified before God, justification before God, when he declares the believing sinner in right standing with him, to be declared righteous by God. Think about that. Not only are we declared righteous before God, listen to me now, when we come to the throne of grace, right this moment before God, we are treated as righteous before him right now. He treats us that way. Do you understand? People say, I just can't, you know, he's holding something against me and God doesn't love me. And that's a lie. If you're in Christ, he doesn't hold anything against you. Not one thing, nothing. And he treats you now as though you are righteous when you come before him. The meaning, you are in perfect right standing because you are in his son. Oh, what a word is that. And now look at verse 13. In that God says here, a new covenant. Amen. A new covenant. Now look what he's done with the old covenant. He has made the first obsolete. God just said in his word, I've canceled it. It is through. It is over. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Listen to me. Let's go back and be a Jew for a minute. First century Jew, all they'd known for 1,500 years was the sacrificial system, the Levitical priesthood, and their high priest. Amen. And all of a sudden, they're reading this letter. Remember this letter, Hebrews 13:22, a letter of exhortation to encourage them. That verse just broke every Jewish heart. You're trying to tell me that what our fathers have practiced for 1,500 years, even though I believe in Jesus, I believe he's the Messiah, but You're telling me that's obsolete? You're telling me that it's abolished, that it's no longer valid? Yeah, but not only that, look at those words. It's also growing old. What does that mean? It's lost its vigor, its strength. In other words, have you ever noticed when you get older, you're not, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's worn out. Look at the next word, vanish away, ready to vanish away. In other words, soon it's going to cease to exist. That's the first century Jew is reading that. And not only that, it's destined for destruction. Now, let me ask you a question. When was verse 13, when it was written, what was going on? Well, when verse 13 was written, in just a few years, maybe two, maybe three, Roman general Titus was going to come in Jerusalem. And what was he going to do in AD 70? He was going to destroy the entire temple, all the priests that were in that temple. And not only that, he leveled it. Not one stone was left upon another. Jesus told us that would happen. But every, how do you say that word? I couldn't do it in the first service either. I never can pronounce it. Record was destroyed. There is no Levitical priesthood today. Do you understand? There is no high priest today. There is no sacrifice today. The Jews, it's impossible. It's all gone. What does that mean? It means that the way back has disappeared. It has disappeared. The law, the Levitical priesthood, it vanished. And it remains vanished. Why? Because Jesus is better than Aaron. He is better than the angels. He's better than the prophets. He's better than Joshua. Man, he's better than the Levitical priesthood. He is a better mediator, but with better promises. And he is the surety of a better covenant. Amen? Now listen, the covenant did not come through us. We were grafted in. Does that insult anyone? Well, I just thank God I'm grafted in. But God, every covenant that you have, you go study the Davidic, the Noahic, what's the other one? Abrahamic covenant. Go study. Every covenant went through the Jews. It did not come through us. But someone said, well, that makes Christians in kind of like second class. Don't ever. No. We're the church. The gates of hell will never prevail. We're the bride of Christ. Amen. We were grafted in. The new covenant belongs to us just as it belongs to any Jew. Do you understand? Thank God that that's what happened. But listen very carefully now. Listen, the church, someone said the church is the beneficiary, like it was handed down, the new covenant. No. We are more than beneficiaries of the new covenant. Boy, so much more. We are the church. We're the new man. Never before in the world, God takes Jew and Gentile, do you understand? From the two, making what? One new man, the Bible says. That word literally means a person that has a thing, whatever, an entity that has never existed ever in the history of the world. We are the new man created in Christ Jesus. Oh, man, loved one, listen, let me give you the scripture, Colossians 3:11. Where there is now, or where there can never be, there's not Greek, there's not Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Did you see it? Christ is all. That, no matter who you are, if you're in Christ, Christ is all that matters now. Because why? Christ is in us. He's in all of us. Listen, every believer is created equal in God's eyes. Amen? Does God have favorites? I mean, does he like Mario better than he does Marshall? Yes, he does. No. Do you understand? See, God loves you just as much as he loves me. God loved Billy Graham just as much as he loves you. God is love. He loves us. He doesn't have any favorites. Our identity, love, listen to me now. This is so important today because it's being twisted. Our identity doesn't come from ethnicity. It doesn't come from heritage. It doesn't come from status. It doesn't come from color. It comes only from Christ Jesus the Lord. Do you understand? That's who we are. We belong to him. We are his purchased possession. We are the church. We belong to an unshakable kingdom. And yes, we were grafted in, and praise God that we were. And praise God that every covenant came through the Jews. That's great. I'm in the new covenant. And all the promises are mine too. Now listen very carefully. We're one. We're one new man. I said in the early service, I know people kind of get upset about this, but there is no such thing as Jewish Christianity. I mean, you can go on TV and you see the guys with the curls and the things and all the rest of it. I'm not beating them up, but don't put them on me. I don't need a prayer shawl. I'm not being critical. I want to learn about the Levitical priest, and I want to learn about the sacrifices, but all of them point to Jesus. Do you understand? I'm not under the ceremonial law. I don't have to do the washings. I can have pork. I can eat bacon. Okay, you want to be under the law, then you know what? Don't you even turn on a light on the Sabbath. Don't know, you sit there. Don't even eat. You can only take 15, 20 paces from your house. Help me, Lord. Do you understand? We don't have to practice those things. We have a brand new cup. This is the cup of the new covenant. Jesus said, shed in my blood. He says, as often as you drink, remember me. None of that. That's been done away with the law. It's over. Not the moral law, the ceremonial law. The moral law, the Ten Commandments. No, that never changes. That's eternal. Now, except the Sabbath. The Sabbath wasn't given to the Christian. It was given to the Jew. Okay? Now, but see, I'm getting off my subject. What I'm trying to get at is this. There is no such thing as Jewish Christianity. That upsets people. We are all one in Christ. Jew, Greek, slave, free, male, female. You understand? It is Christ is all and in all. We're one new man. There's no such thing as Gentile Christianity or Chinese Christianity or Korean Christianity or Black Christianity or Spanish Christianity. Who else can I offend? Let's see. There's no such thing. Oh, the cowboy church. Yeehaw! Jesus. No, I mean, am I against it? No, I'm just saying, okay, listen, you know what I love about our church? We have every kind, every color, every race, every nationality, because that's the way God wants it. Amen. Amen? We are one new man from every tribe and every tongue. That's who we are. Oh, loved one, listen to me. There's only one Christianity. There is only one faith. There's only one baptism. There is only one Lord. There is only one Savior. There is only one new covenant. Oh, loved one, listen. There is only one new man, and that is us. Listen, we're the bride of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. Amen. Oh, loved one, listen. Know who you are. Believe who you are. We're Gentiles. And let me say it one more time in case you're going to get upset and want to email me. We were grafted in. That's not a bad thing. I'd be grafted. Just graft me. Go ahead. I don't care. Whatever that word means, I want it. Because we have this idea that we're maybe a little better. We're the church. But yeah, we are. But we're not better like you think. We owe salvation to the Jew. Amen. Amen. That's why Hitler wanted to kill them. Do you know that Hitler read Calvin, John Calvin's writings and Martin Luther's writings because they hated the Jews, and Hitler based his hatred, that anti-Semitism, on what he said? Do you know that Martin Luther said that the Jews need to jerk out their tongues, take their money? And do you know on that letter, that treatise that he wrote about that, 2 days later, he died, the father of the Great Reformation. The gifts and callings, if you read that in Romans 11, the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. That is talking about Israel. Amen. Do you understand? We say, well, our gifts, okay, well, maybe you can relate to that too, but it's Israel. Listen, we are waiting. Where's the Antichrist? Where's he going to set up? Israel. In what city? Not Fort Worth? Are you following me? Listen, we watch what's going on. Why? Because we know what's coming. We know that there's getting ready to be a treaty one day signed. You follow me? The Antichrist is going to make that covenant with Israel and allow them to rebuild their temple, all those things. Oh, man. Thank God we will be gone and we will be with the Lord forever.
God's word is so good. Amen. On tomorrow's program, Pastor continues his study of Hebrews with the message titled, Better Sanctuary. We do hope you'll tune in once again. As always, we appreciate the privilege of your time today. We pray that your day is blessed. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.